Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, the podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. I am your co-host, Mark Comar.
And I'm Josh Starnes.
And today we're talking about not another vendor for all of you hiring managers out there and all of you procurement department reps and all that. Not another vendor, please. This is what we keep getting when we make these phone calls right now, right, Jay? Like, why are you calling me? I already got my vendors. Right. You guys are saying, look, I'm already with Robert Half. I'm already with, you know, Atos. I'm already with, you know, this other company. I already got what we want. We've been with them for 15 years. We're fine. We don't want to talk to you. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And me and Josh are saying, no. Why should, there's a reason why you want to look for a new vendor. There's a reason why you want to bring on new vendors. It benefits you in so many ways. Just like anything else, no company, no, nothing stays the same energy, you know, nothing stays the same. So you need to evolve, you need to change. But what does that look like and how do you do it? So what we're going to talk about today, I know Josh is hot on this topic. He's ready to bring this to you guys. Let's talk about it. Why should you bring on a new vendor and what are the benefits? So go ahead, Jay.
Like some of them, I come out here, I'm like, where do I start? There's just so much to talk about. And a lot of you are going to feel my pain through this, okay? Anybody who's been an account executive, a client executive, a salesperson, a business development manager, it doesn't matter. We all do the same thing in the staffing industry. We develop business. So if you're spending your time reaching out to all of these companies and you've got great intentions and you believe that your product, your process is the best out there and all you keep getting told is, no, we've got vendors in place. And it's just, oh my goodness. But I've been on all sides. So I've been the person that takes a look at all right. These vendors that are on the accounts and figures out who gets to stay and who gets to be rationalized off of here. And so there are a lot of benefits to this. So why bring on a new vendor? Now, I'm going to give you just a little bit, okay? I'm going to give you enough for you to really understand why. Just like technology changes. Why do you buy new shoes? Mm-hmm. Why do you buy new clothes? Why do you buy anything? Because you want to. And because it serves a purpose and a need. Well, the need in the staffing industry is things change. Technology changes. People change. You know, how many, okay, for the manager, like you said, how for the managers out there that have worked with the same company for 15 years, how many people have you worked with? How many people have changed in that 15 years? How many processes right. have changed in 15 years? Maybe 10 years ago, it was awesome. It was streamless. Their process was great. Nah, now you just deal with it. Why? Now, I get it. This is the problem is it's a saturated market. There are so many agencies. There's so many people calling you, trying to tell you that they're doing the same thing. It goes back to the, I don't know if you did this, Mark, but when I was a kid, I did door-to-door sales for those. Remember those oil cards where if you bought a card, you got like, oh, it's $25 total value and you get four oil changes and we'll fill up your fluids for free, blah, blah, blah. And you had to go door to door and knock on these and hope they buy a card and you got a percentage. Remember that stuff?
Okay.
It kind of goes back to the same thing. Okay. Guys, when you're bringing on new vendors, the reason that you're bringing on new vendors is to flush out the weak. It's to get the people out that are not serious, the people that don't truly value you as a client. Now, when I worked in the big corporate space and I was an MSP, and I'm looking at vendors, okay? I worked for when I was with Kelly OCG, that's what we did. We ran programs. So I had 45 suppliers sending me. Now, let's look at this statistically, okay? And I don't have the numbers. This has been years, so I don't have the numbers. So we're just going to use generalities. Okay. So there's 50 suppliers. Out of that 50, 10% are responding to 80% of the recs. 7% are responding to 85% of the recs. 2% are actively submitting candidates of the recs. So you're telling me 2 out of 50 are the only ones that are actively working this account on a daily basis? The others are just picking and choosing what they're doing? So it becomes to the point where they've got so many clients they're working with that they don't care. Oh, they've got 10 positions. Maybe we'll work these two here, and these two here. Well, when you've got a new vendor that's knocking on your door and they want to come in, there are proper ways to select a new vendor. And we talk about that. So if that's something you want to hear, you're going to have to tune into one of our other podcasts to see that part of it. Right. However, the basis is if I don't care, say Mark is Mark's a VP of this large company, and I've been working with him for 10 years. We're best friends. We hang out all the time. Our kids go to the same school in gymnastics, and they hang out. It's great. We're best friends. I've been charging Mark, because he's my friend, I've been charging him a 50% markup. He's not going to say anything. So he's padding my pocket. I'm making some decent money. He's overpaying for candidates. And that's just the way it's always been. Yeah. Now, that's great. And it happens all the time. But from a business perspective,
right,
business. It's not always the right thing. So from a business perspective, you don't want to pay those 50% margins. By bringing in a new vendor, it helps to keep everybody honest, because that new vendor is going to really try to earn that business. And they're going to come in generally, and they're going to have the better margins. They're going to come in at the minimums. And that's not always good. You don't want to shortchange yourself, but they're still going to come in with a fresh process that you're not used to, which may work better for you. You know, a new vendor comes in, they've been trying to get at you for 6 months. You finally give them a chance. You say, okay, look, we're going to work on these roles. And you find out that not only is their process seamless because they truly care about you as a client, and their percentages are better, the candidates are lasting longer because their process, they're spending more time with their candidates. They truly value it all. Now you're not losing candidates. You're getting better quality candidates. You're paying a better price for these candidates. And everybody else is kind of like, hey, what the heck is going on? And you're like, they're coming in and they're doing everything that you're supposed to. They're supplying, they're giving us candidates in 95% of the recs. Their candidates are getting shortlisted. They're asking questions during the intake calls. Mm-hmm. They're doing what they're supposed to. Now, most of this pertains to working through a VMS, or a MSP. Now, if you're just a manager directly and you're working with an agency, it's a little different, but not much.
Right.
Like I use the analogy with Mark. I mean, we could be friends forever, but it's not necessarily meaning he's getting the best deal or the best process. Because when you become friends with somebody, you tend to, Mark will be okay with it. I don't need to send this email today. I'll send it to him tomorrow. Oh, crap. That was Tuesday. Now it's Friday. I never sent him the email. And he has no idea this candidate can't show up on Monday. I'll call him this weekend. I'll see him. I'll let him know. That's not business profession. I'm sorry, but at the end of the day, business is business, and you need to be able to separate those things.
That's right.
You need to be working with an agency that truly has what your interests in heart. And again, all of our podcasts kind of go together. The last one that we did was on the ability to listen. You need to listen. You need to figure out. There's a reason why we do this. A well-established agency, it doesn't matter if they're filling an accounting position, a front desk position, or a high-level CEO of a billion-dollar company, the process doesn't change. Now, for me, the process kind of moves a little bit depending on the level of candidate and the interaction I'm getting, but I still have a good understanding of what they're doing. So when you really bring in a new vendor that has an understanding of you, what you're doing, creates a process, gives you fair pricing, it's a win-win-win-win-win-win for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing is because there's so many people in this industry that have made it really hard to distinguish the good from the bad, which is insane to me. Agencies that have no process, they have nothing. They call you, that you could care less. You know, they're working with 50 clients. Oh, well, you're number 51. You're just a number. Oh, now serving 51, go ahead and work on some recs today. It's not how it's supposed to be. But unfortunately, we're getting involved with some of these bigger entities, these bigger agencies. That's kind of what you become. You don't have that white glove approach. You can't call them at 12 o'clock at night and say, oh my gosh, this candidate didn't make it. Or there's so many facets to this that I'm sorry for some of you who haven't worked with a good agency that doesn't have a defined process and doesn't really come in and care for you as a client, because you don't understand a lot of what I'm saying. But the benefits to bringing on new vendors outweighs the not bringing them in. So my suggestion is, if you're a hiring manager and you work with 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 20 different agencies, narrow it down to your top three, your top four. And when somebody calls you, you drill them with those questions. If you want to know what those questions are, you're going to have to tune into our podcast and on another episode and where we can ask that, or reach out to us and say, hey, what does this look like? But at the end of the day, there are ways to weed out the bad, bring in the best. And I promise you, you put me in front of your active vendors right now, and I'm going to disrupt it a little bit. And there's a lot of us out there that want to do the same. I've got a lot of friends in the industry, and they're all very good at what they do, but there's a right and a wrong way. And what I'm seeing in this industry today is there's a lot of wrong ways. Don't be afraid to bring on something new.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mark?
I think, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think, yeah, Jay's passionate about this topic. I mean, so I wanted to give him the platform to talk about. He's absolutely correct. And one thing, as from my perspective, as a business owner and having ran companies, the thing that I've always tried to keep in the back of my mental Rolodex is, don't be like Kodak. Don't get to a place where you get so big and so comfortable in, we can't be disrupted, or we can't change, or we can't move, we can't shift, because it's been working for so long, to where you get swept out and then you're no longer in operation. And what Josh is referring to, whether you have, we want you to have, you should have friendships with, you know, your reps. You should have communication. That's what this is all about. But when it comes down to, again, business, that's why you heard him say and articulate clearly, when it comes down to the business, the numbers, the books, you don't want to shake that up, because first off, it's going to require you to do some work. It is, you know, let's like you said, you know, you had to go back and you had to look at, okay, out of the 100%, it's only two companies doing, you know, the yeoman part of the work, or bringing in most of the record directs and then bringing in most of the talent. Whereas you have these other companies sitting here, you know, just basically collecting a check, you know, and filling out anything that they want whenever they feel like it, because they're so large. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to take that extra step and do the work. You can't be too big. You can't be too cumbersome. You can't be too complacent and saying, well, we've been with them for 5 years. We've been with them for 15 years. It's not broke. We don't have to fix it. Actually, it is broke. And you know it is. You know the systems take too long. You know what you're getting in as far as the talent is not up to par for what you need. You're constantly looking for something else, or, you know, you have to constantly work with the people that you're bringing on, because they're not actually fitting that position well enough. And that's not what you want. So I totally agree with Josh when he says you need to bring on new vendors. You need to give new vendors a shot. Quality. You need to do your proper vetting. We're not just saying, hey, bring on anybody. That's not what he's saying. He's saying they'll give a shot to a hungry, deserving new vendors who are willing to give you what you need in order for your company to continue to thrive. If you're not tweaking these sections of your business, then you're not going to stay long. You're just not. Let me just be completely 100 with you. Again, I always go back to Kodak. It wasn't just, you know, one department of Kodak. It was everything as a whole that was not seeing the big picture of new industry and new change. And you just can't get, you know, so Goliath in your mentality to where you don't look at the small things. And the small thing is bring on one vendor, bring on another vendor, bring on two vendors. Saying, hey, look, I want these processes to be a little bit more fluent if you've been with us for 15 years. And that's what Josh is saying. Am I correct, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, times change, right? Mark, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but in the last 10 years, I mean, life has changed quite a bit. Wouldn't you agree?
Goodness. Oh, my goodness, bro. Yes. Yes. We have AI now.
AI is even a huge part of the staffing industry. We haven't even really dug into AI. We have on a couple of instances where we're talking about how AI can help you with your resume and things to be careful with, because from what I'm seeing, there are some pros and cons. It's new. Okay. So, but times change. So what makes you think it's just like for us? We've been working with an IT leader for 10 years and he moves companies and brings in this somebody else. We're starting over. Mm-hmm. So that IT leader is just supposed to come in and say, oh, these vendors must be great. They've been here for 10 years. No, that's not always the case.
Right.
Yes. A program, you'll have 10. I think the mentality is I have 10 vendors. Out of the 10, I'm guaranteed to get at least one good candidate. If that's your thought process, then you're working with the wrong people, because you only need to work with one right person.
Right.
Based on their communication, their process, the way that they handle things, they're going to comfort you. They're going to take you through the entire process. They're going to educate you on today's market. Now, most of you can't tell me if it's a candidate-driven market or not a candidate-driven market. What's going on? Half of you probably couldn't even tell me what the real true statistics look like for jobs this day and age.
Good point.
You know, I just read an article this week that says that in the last 12 months, we're down, full-time positions are down about 284,000 positions. Mm-hmm. You need to understand these things. We're professionals. You need to know what we're looking for.
Yeah.
You need to know, trying to find an ETL developer is your top. There's 4% that are available looking for jobs. This is what they make. You need to understand those things. And if you don't, just take the time to search it. We have this beautiful thing called Google. and it'll tell you so much information. Take the time to learn, invest in yourself, become professional.
Wait, what'd you say about Alphabet? Wait, what'd you say? Like, it's called what?
It's called Google. You know, it's a funny story. My mom, you know, I love her to death, but she's a bit older. And let's be real, a lot of older people aren't into today's, you know, technology.
Yeah.
And we're sitting at dinner one night, and hopefully she doesn't hear this, but we're sitting at dinner one night and she asks me this question, and I can't quite remember what the question is, but I looked over at her and I said, "Do you have your phone?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Can I see it?" So I opened up her browser and I typed in her question and I said, "Here you go." I said, "Mom, I know a lot, but I don't know everything. But I tell you what, Google does. Google has much different stuff." So I said, "I love that you ask me so many questions, but you do know how to use Google." And she kind of stopped asking me so many questions. She tried to go figure it out herself, which was good because then she becomes more self-efficient, which made me laugh. But at the end of the day, guys, it's things are evolving. Processes are evolving. Agencies are evolving. The way that we do things is evolving. I promise you, if you are with the right supplier, even if your supplier is the greatest of all time, you work with me, you work with Mark, we're your number one supplier, and I'm not offended if you bring on a new vendor. Great.
Right.
Tell me about it. Challenge me. You want to see if somebody else's process is better? That's great, because at the end of the day, it breaks down to you and your needs as a client.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not fulfilling those needs, I'm not doing my job.
Right.
By all means, bring on somebody else. But if this will help you to define that process. What I'm, and Mark, please tell me if I'm wrong in this, you know, from the business perspective, but my thought process is we want to work with people. Remember, I've said this before, for sales, we like, we know, we trust. Okay. Trust takes a while to build that.
It does.
Friendship that you like somebody, that takes a little bit. You got to have the give and take. You got to know a little bit more than, you know, what they do during the day. Like, I try to get to know my clients. I try to really know what they do in their day to day, what really makes them happy outside of work. I try to know what's going on, and it really helps to have those other conversations, especially when something bad happens. It's very easy to overcome those when you have a good relationship. But even if I've worked with you for 20 years, it's okay to bring on new people to see if it's a better fit for you. It might be a better fit for these particular roles. I mean, what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, again, you said it multiple times. You're absolutely correct. I think competition, you know, that's how we build, you know, the enterprise, you know, U.S., you know, entrepreneurship market, you know, business market as we have, because it's competition. You know, you were allowed to go out here and compete. But if we have, you know, monopolies, if we have, you know, positions where people cannot be challenged, or companies or cannot be challenged, or, you know, then what are we doing? Right. So I think you're absolutely correct when you say you want to bring on new vendors. You want to allow for a chance for opportunity to know, like, and trust someone. But if you are just so stuck and rooted in this is working, and I guarantee you, if you've been with, especially if you've been with the larger, you know, firms, and you know who they are, if you've been with them, they're gouging you on the bottom line. They just are. And they're not caring how they feel those positions, because they are a behemoth at this particular point. They're not specified in particulars into who they're looking to put into your company culture. They're just, you know, positioning, you know, prerequisites that are on a piece of paper. That's just how it works, because they're too large to focus on that. Not to say you need to go with mom and pops. I'm not saying that either, because again, sometimes in their cases, they cannot afford, as Josh and I have experienced this before, you know, in our own rights, you know, they're too small to be able to fill, you know, a position. So you have to do your due diligence, but be willing to go into that endeavor. And I think Josh has hit on the head. And if you want to know more detail of what we're talking about how to go about this process, as Josh mentioned earlier, we will have more in our Firepower session with you guys to go deeper in specificity of how to look for proper vendors, how to open up the conversation in your departments about the current vendors you have. Because I know some of you are like, I don't even necessarily know how to go about looking for a new vendor. You know, I don't know how to even challenge the ones we currently have, how to ask and inquire about, you know, what's their bill rate, you know, what they're doing. You just submit and then you just say, hey, I got a candidate or I don't. You know, so we'll go in more in depth, right? Am I right, Josh? Because some people don't know.
You know what's funny is, as you're talking and I'm thinking, I have 400 voicemails and 700 spam emails from all these different companies. And what do I do? We'll help you figure that out.
We'll help you. That's what we're here for. So guys, we appreciate you guys showing up here on Higher Power Tech. It does not, you know, go past me and Josh. You know, we started this recently in an endeavor to help educate, be the calm within a noisy business world for, you know, companies trying to hire, staffing firms trying to work with companies, and candidates trying to get placed in an up and down market and economy. And we appreciate you guys, you know, liking, subscribing, joining us here on this. Josh, I know you we've talked about it, you know, between you and I, we appreciate the growth that we've had in this time. But what do you want to say to our audience so far, and this, and us being so infancy and us being out here?
Yeah, definitely want to say thank you to everyone who's taken the time to like, share, comment. We love your comments. You know, there's not, this is not just a one way to skin a cat. I said that in the last one. It's, we want to know what you're seeing. We want to know what questions you have. We want to know what topics you want us to address. Whether you've been in this industry for 50 years and have some really good insight, we'd love to talk to you. Whether you've been here for 2 weeks and you're overwhelmed because you're drinking from the fire hose, it's, We're here for everything, but we too are still learning every single day.
Yes,
so if there are some things that you want to discuss, some things that, if there's something that I've said that you're like, that's questionable, let's talk about it. Let's do it. You know,
yeah, let's have back and forth.
Like, share, comment, and yeah, let's continue to disrupt the industry and make us all a whole lot more money.
Right. And so we appreciate you guys, and be aware we will have some guests coming on in the next couple of episodes. So you don't have to keep looking at our mugs and listening to us talk. We will have some guests coming on to shed insight and some deeper perspective from VPs of companies to some candidates, you know, some staffing firms. Again, we cover all three of these verticals, and we want to make sure that we bring other outside information, like Josh said. Your comments, your questions, your statements help us, but also we want to make sure, you know, you're not just listening to us and hearing us, but you're hearing from people, you know, the horse's mouth themselves. And we want to create a family and a community with you guys. Okay. So we appreciate you. We thank you. We look forward for our next episode to being with you guys, and we'll talk to you guys again soon.
Bye, guys.
See you.